Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Ben, how are you?
I am really good. So, thank you. Thank you so much for being on my show, Sleeping with Ben. I'm going to do my little intro and then we're going to get down to chatting because I'm very excited to chat with you. Very excited.
Oh,
So,
I'm excited.
I'm going to do my little intro. And yes, you're wearing a beanie sleeper. How fabulous you look. Okay, so let me do my little intro. Hi, everybody. I am Ben, creator of the Beanie Sleeper, which is a special lightweight beanie with a built-in sleep mask, which blocks light and keeps your head warm and comfy without overheating. Welcome to Series 2, Episode 1 of Sleeping with Ben, the chat show where I talk to interesting people about their journey from before, during, and after their cancer diagnosis. I want to see if there's one thing that links all three together. And my feeling is there may be. So, my guest today is Tina Conrad, aka DJ Breast Cancer. I've got to know where that came from. She's a two-time breast cancer survivor, a podcaster, creator of The Home Project, and is currently working on not one, but two books. I mean, seriously, it's like she has no, there's nothing inspiring her. But anyway, hi, Tina. Welcome. How are you? Did I miss anything in that intro? I mean, are
I'm
you secretly like curing some disease? Something else?
good. No, I mean, I raise funds for research. That's important to me, but I leave
That's
the
awesome.
curing of cancer to the researchers. That's not my
Oh
bag.
my God, because I get the feeling that if anybody were to do it, it could be you. I mean, there's a lot of drive. And that kind of really leads me to my first question. I have questions here. So
Awesome.
my first of all, I have to say, I watched your first, I think, five episodes of your podcast, season one. So I got the initial stuff that was going on, and then you kind of switched into something else, which is great. So, but you had just gotten married, right? And I saw, and that was your husband in that picture showing the baseball, right? So you just got married, you had your dream job. This was Sears and Home Depot, right?
Sears and
Or was Sears,
Kmart.
Sears and Kmart,
Sears
Sears and
Holdings.
Kmart. So you described it as your dream job,
Yes.
and then you get a diagnosis of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about that time, like right before when everything's going great. I mean, seriously, could you have had anything go better? Married to the man of your dreams and your dream job, and then this. Tell it, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, I'll take a breath and like explain.
Take a breath. Let me just say this. I'm asking because I'm going to also, I want to know that moment because I'm going to go back in time a little bit. But I kind of want to set the stage of that, if that's okay.
I think my mom is a two-time breast cancer survivor, so I think always in the back of my mind, the possibility of me having breast cancer, it was there. Like I always felt it, that was possible. I think what really maybe stopped me in my tracks so much was that I was in my 30s, and so I think my mom was like 40, 6 when she was diagnosed, and then 49, so still young, still very, very young. But I just never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be 30 and I was 37, but 30 in my 30s and facing breast cancer. So I think it and I was just extremely career driven. My husband's also very career driven, and so it really kind of made me stop and take inventory of a lot of different things, my priorities, where I was spending my time, what was my purpose in life. So in some ways it was kind of, this silver lining, because it did kind of give me an opportunity to take a breath, to reset, to think about life and its purpose and kind of maybe go in a different path. And I don't regret it or the lessons that I learned from it. Was it hard? Yes, it was hard. The most challenging time of my life, physically, mentally, emotionally. But I did feel very supported through it, and I called it a dream team. I saw my mother-in-law. She joined on this call as well. But she was a retired nurse. My mom was a two-time breast cancer survivor, and then my husband was just truly, truly my rock. So having all of those people really made it very great. And then Instagram really introduced me to what we call the breasties, but just this tribe of people who like are really there to help each other through a challenging time, which is breast cancer.
Yeah, I really got from your podcast that you had an incredible team behind you. Not always your doctor, so I remember that there was one incident where you were like,
yes.
No.
I had to kick him out. Yeah.
I know. I thought that was brilliant of you. I'm really glad you did. He was a real ass. All right. But anyway.
No, he wasn't. So, actually, it was my husband, too, who, you know, he went with me. Thankfully, this was before COVID. And so, you know, you could take people to appointments. And I get that it's not always, you know, like that now. But he went with me to always my first appointments. And he was like, there's no way. Like, no way. You know, and so he was that black and white that I needed in a moment where I maybe would have second guessed or thought, well, he came with good recommendations or, you know, I would have thought about it. But my husband was like, no way. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, good for him. I mean, honestly, let me ask you something. So you're incredibly driven. Were you always that driven, even as a child? Where are you? Are you the youngest, middle, oldest? Are you an only child?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you first realize how driven you were as a child?
I don't know. I mean, probably.
I mean, did you have bake sales and were you like the leader of your Girl Scouts or, I mean, were you telling mom how to sew or something? I don't know.
No. I mean, I grew up in a really small town, and so I didn't really have a lot of access to even like activities and groups. So I think it was more when I got in high school. And then my world kind of opened up and like, I was in drama, I was in cheerleading. I was like in all these things. I think that's when I really, you know, probably realized. And then I was just always a really good student, you know, so I've always been a good student, held myself to extremely high standards. Even my parents are like, we don't know where she comes from. Like sometimes, cause like, I just really was always driven in school. That continued in college, you know, so
yeah.
I definitely take my things, my commitments, you know, a little seriously. It's okay. You know, I'm a recovering perfectionist, as another one of my breastfeeds likes to say too. And we kind of joke about ourselves like in that way.
No, I was just on a call with my coach, my business coach. And, you know, she's always saying done is better than perfect. And it's true. It is true. Done is better than perfect. So I get the whole recovering perfectionist thing. Let me ask you, who were your influences growing up? I mean, was there any one person? Did you have like a group of people, somebody at church or a mentor or mom or dad or a brother or sister?
Yeah, my parents for sure. My parents owned their own business. It was in business for like over 40 years. So my dad is definitely a self-made businessman and changed. I think I loved how he adapted all throughout, you know, throughout his business. So I really watched him evolve and adapt and like, you know, really put customers at the forefront. And it was really interesting. And then my mom just has like a heart of gold and she's just very much of a servant leader. So she's always, you know, there's a neighbor down the street and they're elderly and they're not going to have Thanksgiving. Let's bring them food. And she's always just been very caring to people. And so when I watched her obviously too go through breast cancer, you know, she brought that same grit and grace and she's just so amazing at helping people. I just choose to do it on kind of maybe a bigger stage, but my mom is like so amazing at like one-on-one helping women. Like if they want to see stuff. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just got to say that one thing that really touched me so deeply when I was listening to your podcast is how your mom, I think, was like 7 hours away and it was too far for her to, I think, come to a few of your doctor's appointments. And then when you and her got together and she just started crying because it was just like a mother's nightmare. I mean, I was like, stop. Because it showed there's such a connection between you two that's so much deeper than your illness. I mean, you and her are connected in such a way that I don't know how many mothers and daughters will ever be.
Yeah.
It's just very, very deep. And I was touched and was a little heartbroken that couldn't be there for a couple of days.
She's my biggest fan and I'm hers too, but she'll carry around my little business cards with my podcast. She's like slinging them out to people, but like, you know, like she'll be like an insurance company. Oh, you had breast cancer here. Listen to my daughter. You know, but she's so sweet, you know, and so I do. I love her. She's amazing.
By the way, I want to say if anybody who's watching has any questions, please put them in and I'll ask. but my next one is, How far, if I'm not mistaken, you went to your first appointment by yourself, right? The very first one?
I went to so my diagnosis and everything, my husband was there with me. I was able to get into, I can't remember which, I think it was with the oncologist. They had an opening, and my husband and I had just gotten back. We worked at the same company, and we had just gotten back to work, and they called me and said, we can get you in. And so rather than have my husband, like, immediately leave when he just had left, I was just like, I'll take this one, you know, I'll go.
Wow.
And I think I was not expecting chemo. I was not expecting, you know,
right.
I just went in there with a different mindset of like, well, I'm going to get a double mastectomy. And that's kind of like,
wow,
a lot different than that. So I always encourage people, you know, to take people. Obviously I get COVID and things are still kind of up in the air, but if you have the ability to take a person with you, it, from an emotional 100%. Standpoint, like it really helps because you don't hear everything.
I got to tell you, last summer I had to see a neurologist for something. And I was like, okay, no problem. I'm talking to my best friend. And she's like, can I be on the call with you? And I'm like, why? She goes, believe me, you're going to want me on the call. And I'm so glad she was because he's talking. And I'm like, okay. Right? Because like, you're not thinking. You're not in that space. So I totally get it. You can go with somebody. Even on Zoom was amazing. I'm curious about this. How far between the initial diagnosis and however deep you got into chemo did you realize that you could beat this? Was that really immediate or did you like, was it gradual?
I guess I didn't really have the doubts that I could, maybe because my mom has been an example of a survivor, you know, so at that point, my mom had been living about 10 years, you know, with being a survivor. So I think, you know, that and my faith always made it feel like I'm intended to do something with this. And mm-hmm. I saw a sign. My faith definitely did, you know, shine or come to me more in my diagnosis. Early on, before I even had the diagnosis, I just saw the most beautiful rainbow, like, you know, stop you in your tracks, mm-hmm. rainbow. And I just knew that everything was going to be okay. And maybe my idea of okay, it may be living, it may not be living, but I just was overwhelmed with this sense of peace that everything was going to be okay. And so I think having that and taking that into the cancer journey, you know, along with me, just gave me this sense of peace that I could get through it. And now I kind of feel like I am doing God's work and what he wants me to do. So it was kind of just this whole purpose, you know, thing, but, you know, it was really, I don't know, I guess I never doubted, you know, that I still live with fears of recurrence. It's definitely, it doesn't go away. And then I think I'm trying to normalize with other survivors too, that fear of it coming back is very real, but I never thought I'm not going to beat this. I always thought, you know, I am going to be a survivor.
I think that's so incredible. I mean, my hospitalization was not for cancer. I created Beanie Sleeper from a different point of view, but when I connected with people going through chemo and we had a we just connected on how I use Beanie Sleeper, how they use Beanie Sleeper. It was, I describe it as kismet. It was just really meant to be. My mom would say beshert. I'm Jewish, so my mom would say beshert, meant to be. And I really do believe that because it completely changed the direction of my company. But what I find so interesting is that you saw how strong your mom was. Mm-hmm. And you were able to kind of let that lift you.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen to a lot of people, right? That is such a gift. In a sense, I mean, to take something as horrible as breast cancer and to have it be a gift for you, that's just like how my mind explodes when I think of something like that. How do you explain that to yourself? How do you talk to other people about that?
Well, and that's actually the impetus for why I started a whole podcast was because I had this gift and I didn't want to waste this gift, you know, mm-hmm. so I had a unique perspective. I had my mom to always kind of help me and coach me and guide me along. But what about everybody else that is going through this and they don't have anybody and they don't have a roadmap and they don't understand the terms that are like being thrown out there? So it really incited me to start a podcast and to kind of be a helper, to help connect people, to help them normalize what maybe is going to happen, understanding that all journeys are different. We're all human beings and, you know, different treatments. I totally get it. But sometimes if you just feel like you have a friend along there alongside you on the journey, it just makes it that much easier and that much lighter for your load. So that was like, I just didn't want to waste that gift, you know, and I wanted to give it to somebody else so that they could like experience it and feel it too.
That's amazing. Let me ask you, I have so many questions. I think my head's going to explode with questions, but I'm curious when either during or maybe right after you ended your treatment, because I know you went through chemo and radiation, right? Mm-hmm. I think, was it at the same time or I don't know, was it one then the other kind of thing?
Chemo like, first.
Is it one then the other?
Yeah, chemo first and then radiation, yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't mean to bring this up, but like 3 weeks ago, I lost one of my best friends to lymphoma. And I know he only got as far as chemo. He didn't get to the radiation part. But so I do know it's like that. But let me ask you, when did you start planning? Mm. Right? Because podcasts, the books, I'm not saying you planned at all, but when did you feel like I need to start my future?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Life after cancer is, it's tricky, you know, and it's a lot of gray. I really believe the first couple years after cancer, I was just kind of living my best life, like just doing what I felt like I missed out on and just kind of being normal. I had a really good friend who was in my support group when I was going through breast cancer, and she had a recurrence, which was metastatic. And she ended up, you know, dying from stage 4 breast cancer. And I think it was at that moment, which was about, I think it was 2 or 3 years after like my diagnosis. It was at that moment that I said, like, I had this idea for a podcast. It was kind of crazy. I mean, it was kind of unusual at that time. Like I was listening to podcasts. Like I love Serial podcast and, you know, the ones that were like kind of famous. But like, I tried to search for like breast cancer podcasts and there was nothing out there. Now, thankfully there's like so many options, which I think is amazing. Mm-hmm. But, I had this idea and I was like, you know, if not now, then when, and I just have to do this. And so I always kind of think of my friend, Sandy Clausen. She's the logo in the middle of the microphone of my DJ breast cancer, because she's kind of like my North Star. Like she's why I keep fighting every day, one for research and two just for helping others and showing the love and support like that she showed me. Cause she took me to, like, we were kind of at different times in our treatments. So like, she was actually taking me to some of my treatments cause she was like, I don't know, like done with her treatments, but in between something else. And so, you know, she's just such a great friend. And it was, you know, my way of kind of paying her love and support forward to others as well.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think if I'm not mistaken, you worked for a little bit when you first started treatment. You were still like, I can do it all still, right? Yeah. And it wasn't, how long was it? A few weeks before you, or a few sessions before you were like, I need to like take care of myself?
It was a few months. I mean, I took
a few months. You did both.
Yeah. I had surgery. And so I did take like, I think 2 weeks off for my surgery. And then the days of my chemo, I think I'd have them on a Thursday and then I wouldn't work on a Friday. So I was more limited in my working, you know, leading up to that. But it was about about 5 months, you know, after I had started and I was still in the midst of chemo. And I said, you know, I'm doing everything the doctors are telling me to do, but I really don't feel like I'm doing the best that I can do and like take care of myself. And for some people, they like working and it helps keep them, you know, preoccupied and normalized. But if you're kind of a workaholic or you have, you know, really tendencies to like work extremely hard, I do ask people like, are you really doing what's best for you and your body? You know, like give yourself the grace. And if you have the opportunity to take a leave, at least definitely consider it. Like it was really beneficial for me in that time frame.
So I will say this, I feel like the through line for you is drive. I mean, seriously, it was always there. Mm-hmm. You saw, I think this is really interesting because your father was an entrepreneur. He had his own business. You saw what it was like to start from nothing and work into something. A lot of people don't get to see that. I was lucky. My mom started her own, had her first beauty supply store when I was 12. So I got to see not only my parent, but a working woman,
yeah,
right, in the 70s, like, do her thing. I know, right? So I was really lucky in that sense. So you have this drive that even, man, even when you first started, I feel like drive is, like, the word for this session.
I love it. I'll take it.
Like, that's what it feels like. Because now, so where did DJ Breast Cancer come from? I mean, where did that come from?
It's funny. My husband, I had a name. I can't remember honestly what it was. Cancerville or intersection of cancer, something else.
Cancerville.
And my husband was like, oh no, like that's horrible. Like nobody's going to remember it. And I was like, okay, smarty pants. Like what's your name? You know? And we were out, getting a cocktail with another one of our coworker friends. And he was like, well, what about DJ Breast Cancer? And I was like, I like it. That's it.
What do you mean, like, out of the blue? And he's like, yeah, like, yeah, shiny object. How about DJ Breast Cancer?
I mean, I think he only threw one name out there, and I was like, no, that's really good. Like, I like it. It's to
that
the point.
So
like,
funny.
It's short. And it's funny because people, like, now call me DJ, and, like, you know.
Well, I mean,
sometimes I don't know if people even know what my real name is, but, like, I love it. Like, I think it's really cute.
When I first saw DJ Breast Cancer, I'm thinking, like, this was really back in the 80s, I think, when, like, people were, like, DJs, like, DJ so-and-so on the turntable. And I was like, oh, she must have a love of, like, 80s music or that kind of thing, or clubbing. And you're like, you do, right? Okay, so that makes sense. Oh, my God.
Well, and probably my husband does, too, so it's all good. But, yeah, you know, we both lived through the 80s and, you know, love the music. So, hey, like, but my husband threw that name out there, and it stuck, and it really has – it has stuck in a lot of ways, so I love it.
I love it too. So tell me what is the Hope Project?
Yeah, so I don't know. I watched this one amazing, like, movie. I'm trying to think of what it was. It was like an illusionist guy, and he has people, like, write their I am, or they pick an I am when they come into this, like, illusion thing. And so it's like who they are as a person, like their story. And so it kind of got me, like, thinking, like, it was just this amazing, like, little documentary I watched. And I was like, mm-hmm, what's my I am? Like, what's my story? You know, like, I'm clearly a survivor, but I'm more than that. Like, I'm a, you know, whole mm-hmm person. And so, I don't know, I always loved the movie Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And all these girls can, like, wear the same pants. And then they, like, ship it on to the next person. And then she wears it. And maybe she writes, like, a little note and then ships it on to the next friend. And I was like, well, why couldn't, you know, we do something like that with a journal? And, you know, I don't want these journals back. So I think I started with, I think it was 8 or 9 of them. And I just wrote, like, my I am. And this is my story. And it took up, like, a page of the journal. And I attached it with, like, a breast cancer t-shirt and then, like, a little charm from Vera Bradley, where I work. And, like, sent it to people that I knew that would appreciate it and, like, you know, pay it forward. And so it's kind of like putting all these little, you know, outlets out there into the world. And now mm-hmm other people are starting it. I have, like, templates, you know, on my, you know, that I'll email to people. And so they're starting their mm-hmm own Hope Project with the intent,
wow,
that, like, you know, I just want more hope in the world. And so I might write it on the first page and another person will write on the second page and then they're going to mail it to someone and they're going to write on the third page and, you know, so on and so forth. And then, you know, later you're going to find, you know, people all over the country, you know, can see that hope can grow. And I just think that that's such a beautiful thing. And I love how it's just kind of organic and just kind of happening in the world. And I kind of know about it and I kind of don't know about it. And I think that's kind of the magic spark on it.
How far is it gone? I mean, how big is this now?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I sent some out. I know people are sending them out. I've had other couple people, like, reach out to me. For my 8th cancerversary, which will be in August, I plan to do 8 more and send them out into the world.
Awesome.
So I think for each cancerversary, that'll be kind of, you know, I'll write more and send them out into the world. And, you know, just kind of organically, like, encouraging other people to start theirs as well.
I love it. I mean, what you're doing, I mean, you're literally taking all of your hopes and dreams and your focus and you're putting it, I just love that. I think it's really cool. I know I'm not coming up with the right words. It's cool. It really is what you're doing. Tell me about the book. Can you talk about like the two books you're writing?
Yeah, one is still in works. That's probably a late 2022, 2023 thing. And I'm writing it with another survivor who I met through my podcast, which is amazing. So we're kind of doing that together as like a joint book thing. The other one is a poetry book, and it's kind of about the arc of cancer to COVID, because COVID brought back a lot of triggers, you know, these feelings of isolation, being alone, you know, worried about my health, you know, all these things kind of came roaring back. And some of the lessons I learned, you know, from cancer also helped me through COVID. But just, you know, a lot of the feelings came back. And so I put that together with some black and white photos, and I'm going to self-publish, and just, you know, all my proceeds are going to go to Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. Oh, nice. They're at IU Hospital, and they do like amazing work. I've been to like their facility, and, you know, I just want more good, you know, in the world. And so just, you know, looking to make an impact. And I've turned to writing as a method of, you know, venting and, you know, getting all that out. And that's really what I want to encourage others to, is to start their own, whatever project that may be for them. And maybe it's writing and not sharing, maybe it's writing, you know, and writing a book, whatever it looks like for you. But I think writing is so important to, you know, express your feelings and to, you know, just be your most authentic self, and to kind of feel your feelings, because it's really important as a survivor that you kind of acknowledge, you know, what pain, what trauma, what hopes and dreams, all of that stuff, that you kind of, you know, think about that and process that.
I made an audible gasp when you said poetry, because I remembered that. I thought that was so interesting in your podcast, is that I think, I don't know if you had it in there, every one of the first five, I remember at least two, that you had a poem, and I've never heard that before. And I thought that it's so interesting that that's how you're choosing to share your story in many ways. You wouldn't happen to have a poem nearby, would you?
I know like the first lines of like one of them, which
can you share them?
Yeah, this one's really meaningful to me. After I had done my mastectomy and was able to see my body for the first time, and you literally lose, you know, a part of you, and especially as a woman, you know, and seeing your body for so long, and then to see this like shell, and it's like, you know, not who you are. All my family had kind of like left, not left like like on purpose, but like they just, it was kind of like the changing of the guard, and like people had gone, and my husband wasn't home from work yet. And I was able to finally take a shower, because you get these drain things that you can't get wet for a long time with the surgery. So I was able to take a shower, and I came out, and I just lost it like in the shower. And so I wrote this poem. It's called Tears in the Shower. And it was, I cried my tears in the shower, the salt mixed with rain. I cry my tears in the shower so no one can see my pain. And so it's really about this, you know, and it talks about like the shell of a body, and it feels fake. And, you know, it's just a lot of emotions, you know, that I went through in that moment. And I actually called my husband, who was like on his way home from work. And I was like, I'm kind of a mess, like, you know, FYI. I was like, and then I shared with him this poem. And at the time I was like doing a blog, and I wasn't really sure if this was something I wanted to share. And my husband is like really private, like really, really private. And he's like, no, I think you should share this so that people understand that breast cancer is not sunshine and roses every day, and that it's really a lot of loss and pain. And so people see the real side of it. And it was his encouragement too, that kind of helped me almost become this new cancer person and post-cancer person, which is very open and sharing. And I kind of use my words to, like, that's how I express a lot of my feelings, is through poetry. And I have found really hard times that poetry is just kind of my way of getting my feelings out. And I, even during COVID, you know, having like a journal like near my workstation, so that sometimes if an idea comes in, I can kind of use it and like kind of harness it. So I've really found poetry just kind of my medium in terms of my feelings and expressing, mm-hmm. you know, just who I am.
So when will that book come out?
Yeah,
it seems
so
like that's
I'm,
the closest, right?
Yeah, that's the closest. So it's called From Sea to Sea, From Cancer to COVID, kind of. And I'm hoping that it will be out for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So like September, October timeframe. But I'm really excited. It's really like this passion project of mine. I have some photos from some breast cancer survivors, and then some photos that I've taken over the years too. And so I think it's also kind of unique because usually with poetry books, you don't see like the photos with it too, but there's something about pairing a photo, especially black and white, which takes it kind of down to its like raw core.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know, like there's something about it mixed with how I felt during cancer and COVID that really kind of, to me, bring it all together. So, I mean, I think it's a beautiful project. And I think that, again, you know, just like sharing my story, sharing my podcast, like I feel that there will be other people that will take something from this and say, like, she's feeling how I feel, or I had that same thought, or I, you know, and help kind of normalize it, you know, and know that they're not alone in all of this.
I think the worst thing about any illness is the feeling of loneliness,
yeah.
or that you are in it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's self-inflicted where we don't want to burden other people,
yeah.
even our closest friends and family. And I know for me, that was very challenging to kind of like lay myself bare.
Yeah.
Right. It's very hard, and you found a way through it, which I think is pretty incredible. I am looking forward to your book because I feel like I got to know you a bit through your podcast, and I feel like I know you a little bit more after this, and I'm so grateful that you're my first guest in this new series. I don't know. I'm going to start saying lots of nice things. But anyway, I think it's great. I can't say anything other than nice things. That's so awesome.
Well, I have a question for you. So how did you think of, like, the mask and the beanie? I just want my people to also know.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so basically, the visor stays up, and then it comes down, and low fabric, no fabric. I thought, honestly, when I was in the hospital, I couldn't sleep at all. It was very cold. This was October and very, very cold there. Lights were always coming. They were always on in the hallway, right? Your door was never shut. Doctors would come in and out. Lights go on and off. I couldn't sleep. And I was putting sheets over my head, just trying to get some rest. And I couldn't do it. But when I got out, I had this idea and it turned out to be this.
I love it.
And I just I've never created a product in my life. And, you know, I taught myself how to sew a bit, and I created this monstrosity. And a friend of mine who's a fashion designer helped me create the final product. So that's kind of my story. And I'm just, you know, when I get emails from people telling me that how it helped them, how it just brought them a little bit of comfort in a really awful time, you know, having chemotherapy, they're sitting there and they're like, so they're in that big room. And it just makes me feel really good that it can help.
Yeah.
Somebody, because I know how much it helps me. So that's kind of my story.
I love products with a purpose. I mean, I'm in merchandising at Vera Bradley, but I love when something has function, but also like heart to it too. So I love that. I think that that's amazing.
I appreciate that. I mean, it does, the whole focus, once I connected with the, can I call it the cancer community? Or once we connected, it really changed my why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in knowing your why, and it really changed mine and focused it like a laser beam. So this is really what I'm doing. I mean, I work with lemonsoflove.org. I'm working with Ronald McDonald House. And I'm doing a lot of these things in order to get Beanie Sleeper out there, get the word out, that kind of a thing. So I appreciate you asking. No, I didn't ask her to ask me. She just... But I want to do my wrap up and then, and my thank you. So let me do my wrap up. So I want to give a big thanks to Tina for the cuddle today. You're an excellent cuddler. I felt it all the way. You're like in a different time zone. It's like 4:30 there, right?
Oh no, I'm in Eastern. Mm-hmm. I think
you're Eastern.
Yeah.
I don't, Okay, you're with me. So I want to give you a big shout out. I also want to thank all of you for your continued support for what we're doing here in the cancer with the cancer community, as well as Ronald McDonald House. And if you are looking for a Beanie Sleeper, either for yourself or to support a friend or family, you could always go to beaniesleeper.com or click in my profile. You can click there and get one. And lastly, if you like what we're doing here on Sleeping with Ben and would like to be a guest, please DM me. I am looking for like people like Tina. I'm looking for amazing people with interesting stories who feel open enough to talk about it. I don't ever pressure about anything. I want it to come from you. So if you like what we're doing, please DM me. And also, it helps us if you could share this with your friends and share it with your network so we can keep going. And just another huge thank you to Tina for being so open, so honest, so present with your story and your energy. It just means a lot to me to have you on. And I just want to say thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Ben. It's really been a pleasure getting to know you and hearing about your product and all that you do. So thank you.
I appreciate that. So bye, everybody. Thank you so much. Till next week. Bye.